Excellent. Take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, find Nehemiah chapter number 12. Nehemiah chapter number 12. We have been talking for this week, will be 23 weeks in a row on Wednesday night, about this thought of helping people. That's what the church is all about. Two things we're to do. We're to help God, and we're to help people. One of the ways of helping God is by helping people. And we've looked at a variety of ways that we could do that. You know, it's not a church's purpose to see how much land we can buy. It's not a church's purpose to see how fancy of a building we can get. Now, I thank God for our building. It's a beautiful building, and God has been very, very good to us. But, you know, this to me, this building is merely a tool. It's a tool for serving God and helping people. The church and God's people sometimes can get off track. There are a lot of things that you can do with your life, but let me tell you something, folks. God saved you, and you're here on this earth not just to eat breakfast and to walk your dog. There's far more to it than that. You're here to serve God and help people. If you're not helping people, then as a Christian, you're not doing what you ought to do. Nehemiah chapter 12. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. We'll do that out of reverence for the Word of God. I'm going to read. I'm going to take us to three different verses. There's a lot of territory in between those three verses, but I'll use a lot of scripture throughout the evening. But I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Nehemiah chapter 12. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then I brought up the prince of Judah upon the wall, and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate." Now, go to verse number 40 in that very same chapter. We're going to see some wording that is somewhat identical. Nehemiah says, "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and half of the rulers with me." Now, go down to verse number 43. The Bible says also that that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. I'm going to bring you up to date as to what that's all about. Those three verses work as a springboard to get us started tonight. Let me pray for us. Do yourself a favor. I'm about to pray out loud. You'll pray silently in your heart. I'm going to ask God to speak to my heart. I wish you'd ask Him to speak to your heart. I really do. I wish that we would all want God to help us to be better because we came to church. And let's pray. Father, meet with us tonight. My personality is not enough. The perceptions of each person here, not enough. Our intelligence is not enough. But your Holy Spirit would make it enough. You can make up for our lack. Spirit of God, lead us into the truth. May it be practical, livable. May we use it today, tonight, tomorrow. God, we want to help the people in our area. We know that Jesus died for people. Now bless us tonight as we look at this simple subject. Holy Spirit of God, do something supernatural in our midst, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. Let me tell you a little bit about this story so you understand the verses that we just read. Nehemiah had led God's people in the building or the rebuilding of the walls around the city of Jerusalem. The walls around the city of Jerusalem had deteriorated. They had been destroyed. And God uses Nehemiah to help rebuild those walls. The people had at one point been led into captivity. Now let me explain something to you about those walls. The walls around that city, they pictured strength. The walls around that city pictured protection. The walls around that city, they were a sign of completion. They were the security system. They brought security. Now, when it was time to rebuild these walls, there was some opposition to the rebuilding. And so you all know, any time you're doing something for God, if you're building something for God, there will be opposition. Moms and dads, You say, I want to raise my kids for the Lord, and I'm going to build my children. I want to make them strong Christians and good American citizens. Well, then there's going to be opposition. The devil's not going to sit idly by. You have a ministry in the church, and you're trying to, maybe you're in the nursery, or you're helping with the bus route and helping us to reach, maybe it's helping to reach the poor. I'll tell you something, if you're building something for God, there will be opposition. I hate the thought of this, but folks, when there's no opposition, that's not really good. You say, I just wish it was peace all the time. So do I, and it's going to be someday. That's when we get to heaven. But in between now and there, we have someone that's not happy with us, and he's not supposed to be happy with us. We're talking about old smutty face, the devil. So there was opposition to the rebuilding of these walls. Why? Well, the rebuilding of those walls pictured strength for those people. It pictured protection for those people. It was a thing of completion that would bring some peace and some security to those people, and the devil opposed it. There's a couple of guys by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah. They were jealous over Nehemiah. They were jealous, and they were not happy about the rebuilding of the wall. And you know what they did? Sanballat and Tobiah, they spread rumors and wrote letters and tried to frustrate the rebuilding of that wall. They even got some others to oppose the rebuilding of that wall. And the enemy even began to physically attack the rebuilding of that wall, all the way to the point that the bricklayers, the men that were the masons, we're talking about the actual laying of brick, they would have their trial, you know, that thing that you scoop up the mortar and you spread it on. They would have a trial in one hand, and they carry their sword in the other. Can you imagine? They're out there working, and they're slapping that mortar around and putting those bricks and rebuilding that wall, and they had to keep their sword in one hand. And the trial on the other hand, why? There was a jealous, evil enemy trying to stop the progression of the work of God. And they tried to actually frustrate, the Bible says, the finishing of that wall. Now, I am so glad that Nehemiah was able to say what he did. In the book of Nehemiah, he makes this statement. So finished we the wall. You can't let the devil stop you. Mom and Dad, if the devil throws some rocks at you while you're rearing your kids, don't let the devil stop you. Christian, as you're trying to grow and you're building your own life and your family, don't let the devil stop you. Those of you that have ministries within the church, don't let the devil stop you. He's going to attack. He's going to try to tear down what you're building. You say, well, I'll just have to slap the mortar on with one hand and carry my sword with the other. You say, what sword? Try this sword right here, the sword of the Word of God. But you just keep on going. And it is said, so built we the wall. Now, after the wall was built, Nehemiah, I believe, was a spiritually smart man. After he built the wall, the Bible says that he organized some people to give thanks. Listen again, let me read to you from the passages that we just read. In Nehemiah 12:31, it says, then I brought up the prince of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks. In other words, Nehemiah said, we asked God to help us. God did. We didn't forget what God did. Then we praise God, or we gave thanks to God for what he did. Let me tell y'all something. When you ever need a miracle from God and you beg God for a miracle and God gives you a miracle, could I highly recommend to you that you let God know that you know what he did? You better give him credit for what he did. And you say, well, why? Because you're going to need another one someday. You're going to need another one. It's a real good idea to thank the Lord for what he did. Now, but not only that. First of all, in Nehemiah 12:31, this group of people were organized, and they were thanking God for the rebuilding of the wall. Then in verse number 40, it says, so stood the two companies them that gave thanks. So now, Nehemiah not only had one company of people that were giving thanks on top of the wall for what God had done. Now there's two groups that gave thanks on top of the wall for what God did. And then when you get to verse 43, it says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. You know, these people were happy. They're now giving sacrifices, and that was a way of saying thanks to God. And they were rejoicing. They were happy. It says, and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. This isn't just joy, it's great joy. The wives also, and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem, and get this, was heard even afar off. Now, they're talking about physically heard. In other words, they took on a task. They, with God's help, achieved that task. Then the leader said, we better thank God for what's happened here. And so he got a group of people together and he said, I want you to be thankful. And I want you to be thankful for what God's done for you. Then he got another group together. He said, I want you to do the same thing. The Bible says this thing just caught on and the people were rejoicing with great joy. And the moms were influencing their kids to have this great joy and thankfulness to the point that it was heard afar off. In other words, they were rejoicing about what God had done at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. They were rejoicing so loud in New Bern, they heard it in Havelock. And they heard it in Kinston. And they heard it. And really, here, it actually means they actually heard it. These people were praising God. Now, there was a lot of them. I know a couple women that could probably get the sound far enough down there that, you know, I know my mom could. Well, if I was home late when I was a kid, I could hear my mom yell for miles. And if she ever said Jeffrey Allen with my middle name, I wish I hadn't heard it, because that mean I was dead meat when I got home. But they rejoiced in such a way that it could be heard from some distance. So there's two applications to that heard even afar off. It means that physically these people were so thankful to God for the victories that they had experienced that there were people on the outskirts of town that could hear them because they were so happy. I mean, let me tell you something. I wish that God's people would say amen to God loud enough that it could be heard around the county, because when all the partiers are doing their thing, you sure can hear some of that all the way around the county. It'd be good if God's people would stand up and be counted. But not only does it mean that it could be heard from a physical distance, I think it also meant that there were people influenced away from that immediate area. It was noised abroad, as it's put in the New Testament. Now, what was this all about? Now, remember, the series that we're discussing here on Wednesday nights is about helping people. Do you understand that these people being led and sincerely giving thanks was helping everyone? Folks, if we're not careful, the devil can give the outside world a bad impression of the church. And let me tell you something that I think America struggles with terribly. I think we struggle with our gratefulness. Folks, we better remember what some people have done to give us this great country. We better remember there are men that have shed their blood to give us this country. And that American flag, I love my Bible, but by the way, my Bible teaches me that that flag has something to do with where I am and who I am. You know, America needs to think back to some of our forefathers and be grateful and be thankful for what people have done. We've forgotten there are people today. We have freedom in America because somebody died. And by the way, you have freedom as a Christian because somebody died and was buried and resurrected. And what I'm telling you is this. I think when you and I are grateful, we help people. In this story, there was one group that were grateful. The next thing you know, there's another big group that's grateful. You say, what's happening? The gratefulness is catching on. The next thing you know, it says that the mothers were rejoicing and being grateful with their children. And it got to the point where there was a revival of gratefulness. And it was heard. People were thankful for what was happening. And so, I think this simple lesson, stay with me, it's this: helping people by being thankful. This isn't one of my points, but let me say something to every parent in here. Moms and dads, you want your children to be thankful for those things that you provide for them. And they will struggle with that. But can I tell you something? Mom, Dad, if all your children hear you do is gripe and complain about what your boss does for you, why wouldn't your child then mimic your behavior as your boss is providing for you, but you're not thankful? You're wondering why your child is not thankful for what you're providing for them. Do you see the catch 22 there? You and I can help people by truly being thankful. I'm going to talk about that for a little while. It doesn't get any more complicated than that, but hear me out. First of all, tonight I want to say I'm thankful that I get to be in the ministry, and I have a reason for this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ, Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." All I want to say about this, and it is because of the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God that I get to be in the ministry. But I want to make something very clear to everyone here. You'll hear preachers give their sob stories about how bad it is and how rough it is and how they're going to starve to death and how they can't make it and how they can't take it and how bad it is. Let me explain something to you. The thrill of my lifetime is to be in the ministry. There's nothing else that I want to do. It is one of the most wonderful, one of the most fantastic things. Now, there are parents. I'll meet parents who say, "I never want my kids to have anything to do with the ministry." Moms and dads, that's a dangerous thing to say. You know, the best place in the world for your child is where God wants them, not where you want them. And I hope you could accept this. Did you know that God wants better for your child than what you do? So I never want my child to go to the mission field. The best place in the world, the safest place in the world, is that your child be in the center of God's will. Every child, every teenager in here, when you look up here at your pastor, I love what I do. I don't want to do anything else. You know what I do? I pray and I say, "God, if there comes a day when you can't use me in the ministry, kill me and take me to heaven." You say, "Did that scare you?" It doesn't bother me. No, I enjoy what I do. Oh, it has its challenges. It has its challenges. Ministry wouldn't be bad if it were not for people. But I'm here to tell you, I thank God when I was a 16-year-old boy that God called me to preach. I thank God I have the privilege of being your pastor. I don't want to be anything else. I probably couldn't be anyway. You don't have to be real smart to be a pastor, so I qualified, and that's okay with me. But I'm just here to tell you, I thank God for that. Can I tell you this? Do you know that if preachers would thank God more that they get to do what they get to do, we could have a revival among young people that want to be in the ministry again, and they'd like to be preachers again, and they'd like to be missionaries again. Folks, if we're not careful, we're not going to have anybody that's in the ministry anymore because they get the impression it's just so bad. It's not so bad. You're looking at me. I have plenty to eat. And God's been good to me. But I thank God for that opportunity. Secondly, folks, the Bible teaches that you and I need to be thankful for the victories that God gives us in life. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, just let me recommend something to you. You need to be thanking God for the victories in your life. Now, what happens so many times is we get a it's got to be a real big victory for us to mention it. Folks, you and I experience victories all day long, every day, and you could change your attitude if you just start looking at some of the victories that are going on. And we influence each other that way. You get around somebody that notices a little victory and they praise God for something little, you know what? That'll cause you to think, you know, I should have probably thanked God. That very same thing happened to me yesterday. What we help people by being thankful. Thankfulness is a little bit like the flu. It's contagious. You get it, and you can spread it around. But it's a good thing. So you give thanks. I give thanks because I have the privilege of being a preacher. We ought to give thanks for our victories. Folks, the Bible teaches that we ought to give thanks for the strength that God gives us. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'm going to read to you verse 12 and 13. It says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." You know what he's thanking him for? He gives strength. You got up this morning. Thank God. "Oh, but I was praying for $1 million. You wouldn't know what to do with it if you had it. You, and hey, you'll be a far cry closer to getting your million if you just start thanking God for the fact that He gave you the energy to get up this morning. Thank God for the strength that you have. It is God that provides you strength. You went to work today. God gave you that strength. Mama, you had enough energy to take care of the kids today. God gave you that strength. And some of you that have been flat on your back and out of strength and out of energy, if you'll remember back, it's a wonderful thing when God provides strength. So we are to give thanks for our strength. That be physical strength, and maybe even more important than that, spiritual strength. Do you understand? We all ought to be a bunch of drunks, and we ought to be a mess. But God gives us strength. I can't imagine where I would be and what I would be if it were not for the extra strength that God gives me. Now, I put what I can into my spiritual life, and I give what I can. Now, God's not going to make you spiritual. But I will tell you this, if you give what you have, God can take care of the rest. Thank God for the strength that He's given you. Some of you, you said in church, and if you'd really think about it, it's a miracle you're here. Truth of the matter is, you could be in jail. Truth of the matter is, you could have been dead a long time ago because of the behavior and some of the misbehavior that you're guilty of. But God gave you strength. And God said, thank me for that. Thank me for the opportunity to be in the ministry. Thank me for the victories in life. Thank me for the strength that I provide. And remember, the whole lesson is, when you thank God, when you are truly thankful, hey, it might even be heard afar off. That's what happened when they were thankful for the rebuilding of that wall, and God gave them the victory, and God gave them accomplishment. Not only that, give thanks for your growth in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Paul said, I thank God that your faith is growing. Some of you, your faith has grown. You ought to thank God for that faith. There are some of you that when you first got into church, trusting the Bible and hearing something preached and then doing it, you would have said, no way, went in there to hear that knucklehead preacher in there preaching from that book, telling me to live like this or telling me to live like that. You had to examine it for weeks and months and even lived in rebellion to it. But you know what happened? God got a hold of you. You started thinking, you know what, that preacher's not as dumb as what he looks. And yeah, that book is not as old-fashioned and outdated as what I thought it was. And you know what? I think I'll do it. I will by faith obey. There's some of you used to analyze everything to the nth degree, but now you hear it from the Bible and you say, well, God's right and I'm wrong. I'll do what God said. Your faith has grown. There's some of you used to panic 7 days a week about things. It was just panic, 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 panic. Now you're down to 5 days. You've grown by 2 days. Thank God that your panic is reduced. What's happened? You've grown in your faith. And folks, when you thank God that you are growing in your faith, and when you thank God that others are growing in their faith, you're influencing people. You're helping people. Oh, my. You know, the lack of faith, you can get that anywhere. There's a ton of people, and there's a ton of opportunity for a lack of faith. A lack of gratefulness, a lack of thankfulness, that's everywhere. But we need to influence a lost and dying and carnal world to become thankful for what we have again. And we can make an impact on people by being thankful. I think we ought to give thanks for the peace that's provided for us in life. Listen to this verse, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There it is. Thankfulness in regard to what? Peace. You adults that have been around for a little while, you remember some of the experiences that just about gutted you emotionally? You remember the nights of you felt emotionally destitute, hopeless. You couldn't sleep, and if you did, you cried yourself to sleep. And the fear of, could it get any worse? Even to the point of, I wish I were dead instead of facing what I'm facing. But you're not facing it anymore, and God's brought some peace in your life thereafter. Have you thanked Him for it? Could I recommend that if you've had some good days and there's been some peace in your life, that you are thankful for that peace? But God said, thank God for that peace. Do you know that when I thank God for the peace in my life, okay, I just did it. I reminded you of how valuable peace is. And I'm thanking God for that peace. And there's some of you, you'll have a better day because you remember that feeling. You remember that scary, hopeless, there's no tomorrow feeling. And most any adult that's lived very long has been there at least once. And some more than once. Isn't a wonderful thing? The Bible says joy comes in the morning. Thank God that there are times when you make it through the dark night and you wake up and you get a little peace again in your life. But thank God for that. And when I thank God for that, that will help you. And I'm helping people by noticing and thanking God for the peace. Next. I think you ought to give thanks for your salvation. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You say, well, what unspeakable gift? Well, the greatest unspeakable gift is the one of salvation. You say, well, why is it unspeakable? Because I don't care how you put it. You can't make it big enough, exciting enough. You can't make it elaborate enough. You can't. You can say all the wonderful things and use every superlative in the English language, but none of them are going to be adequate to totally make salvation everything that it is. And that's why the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. You think heaven's good, it's better than what you think. It's far better than what you think. And the salvation that you and I have is far better than what you even realize. You have so many benefits in your salvation package that was given to you by God. It is indescribable. Mortal tongue cannot tell you how marvelous your salvation is, because it's connected to being a part of the family of God, and it's connected to a place called heaven, which when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise and to look at all the magnificence of heaven than when we first begun. But not only that, there's the negative aspect of it. You're going to spend an eternity in heaven, how marvelous, and not an eternity in hell. And as good as heaven is good, hell is bad, and you don't have to experience that, and you'll never understand the depth of the bad of hell or the immensity of the glories of heaven. Wow, I'm saved! I'm glad I'm saved. Did you know by thanking God for your salvation, you influence people? It's a wonderful thing to be saved. You can take my money. You can take my health. You can take my mother-in-law and keep her. You say, how can you say stuff like that, preacher? Because my mother-in-law's in heaven already, and so I'm relatively safe, unless her daughter gets upset about it. You could take my job. You could take my shoes. You could take my puppy and my goldfish, but you can't take my salvation. Wow. And I thank God for that. And when you thank God for your salvation, it helps people. It helps people. When they were thanking God from the top of the wall, it started a thankfulness revival, started spreading around to the point where people far off heard of it. Hear about those people, they're just thankful. And in a world that's so negative, so depressed, and so down, there ought to be a ray of sunshine from a church that's got their eyes on the Savior. Let me move on. I think we ought to give thanks for being able to stand every morning. I was just studying thanks in the Bible, and I found this verse. It says in 1 Chronicles 23:30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. I have a friend. He fell from virtually a third story. He fell off a scaffolding. When he fell on his neck and back. He became a quadriplegic. He fell, it broke his back and neck in just a variety of areas. He has now been in an electric wheelchair. He can lift his arms a little bit, but he is paralyzed basically from the neck down. He never gets to stand up. You have legs? Are you grateful for them? Here it says, to stand every morning. I'm thankful. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You lose your legs, you lose the ability to stand, you wish that you could. And in general, it's just thanking God for health. It's thanking God that someone could stand and move around. Let me go on. Give thanks for his bountifulness. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians 9:11. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. America is a land of bounty. Do you know that some of the poorest people in America are richer than some of the poverty? The poorest people in America are richer than the richest people in some of the poverty-stricken areas of the world. There are still places that do worse than you. And you say, bounty, I'm struggling. Well, how many pair of shoes do you have? How full is your closet? And then the tubs under the bed. And the stacks of clothes that used to fit you that don't anymore for a variety of reasons. Because you're short. You don't have enough in life. How many cars do you have? You could compare just the dishes in your cupboard to the generations of the past. We used to get our margarine in a plastic bowl, and that's what we ate our cereal out of, and we used ball mason jars as cups on our table. You say, oh, I never have anything like that. That made me look like an old redneck. Some of you could use a bump up in life. You ain't had sweet tea till you drank it out of a mason or a ball jar. I wonder how many people went to the restroom outdoors today. And you boys in grade school, no sense in raising your hand. I'm not talking to you. Do you know we have indoor plumbing? We throw more food away in America than some countries get to eat. And so when I talk about being thankful for his bountifulness, we ought to be. And here at our church, I'm just thankful for the bountiful blessing of God. Look what God's doing. How incredible in a day and age where they say you can't preach the old time religion and still have revival. God's being bountiful. I got to keep on going because I've got about 15 more points. No, that's not true. That's not true. Be thankful that what I just said is not true. Number next, give thanks for God helping you to overcome your flesh. Listen to this. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And what's he talking about? He said, I am thankful that I'm being enabled by God to overcome my flesh. Folks, lost people they're not going to overcome their flesh much. But when you and I got saved, the habits that we had before salvation are now overcomable, not because of us, but because of the power that he gives us. I can have victory through Jesus Christ. And again, I'll go back to, even as a born-again Christian, there are some pretty stupid things that you and I can do. Thank God for the power that's in the Spirit of God that keeps you and I from being totally held down by the flesh. Now, we'll have to deal with that flesh, as we know we have a new nature and an old nature. We're going to deal with that old nature all the way till we get to heaven. But let me assure you of something. You can have victory. You can have victory over your flesh. Why? And you ought to be thankful. Let me move on. We ought to give thanks for our remembrances of what God does. For instance, Philippians 1:3 says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Here, Paul is looking back. He is remembering and appreciating the past. Let me help you to have a better today. You say, it's really rough, and I don't know if I'm going to make it through this valley. Have you ever been through a valley before? You say, oh yeah, did you make it out? Well, obviously you did. If you will remember back, thank God for past victories, it will give you an assurance. The same God that brought you through the last valley will bring you through this valley. His hand is not shortened. God's not unable to take care of you. Just thank God by remembering what God has done. Let me give you another. I think you ought to give thanks for your church family. Your church family. Romans 1:8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church, and he said, I just want to thank God for you all. That's a hillbilly term, you all. You all. That's like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is not a condiment. In West Virginia, they mayonnaise a lot of a lot of sheep over in that field. It says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He was thanking God for the people in the church. Now, I don't think there's one perfect person in our midst, but I think there are all sorts of God's children in our midst. I think there's a bunch of people that are trying. I think there's a bunch of sincere people. We ought to thank God for our church family. Folks, let me recommend something to you and let me teach you something. It's an obvious, and you ought to already know it, but if you don't know it, you ought to hear it, and if you do know it, you ought to be reminded of it. If you leave out of this place, your church, and you go out there, and you're critical and negative about people in our church, you're going to cause people out there not to want to come here. Why in the world would the people in the world want to come here when they know there's negative, and they know that people don't get along, and we don't have any of that? I know of none of that, nor do I want any of that. But I'm just here to tell you, you go out there and you talk bad and gripe and complain about your church here, then why in the world would the world want to come here? You know what the world's looking for? It is looking for a haven where there is a unique spirit, where people have a good attitude about life, that are thankful, so they could find a haven away from the nastiness of the world. Amen. Give thanks for your church family. And then this is the last point, and we'll be done, though I want to give you a whole bunch more. I think we need to give thanks for our health. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Praying for Brother Kenny Hacker, and he had some tests, and we were wondering what was going to happen. He and I got to speak the other day, and he said, test came back, and he said, free and clear, no cancer on my lung. You say, wow, if that were me, I'd be thankful. You don't know what God's healed you from lately, buddy. My, oh my, God's good. You ought to thank God. You say, but I'm sick and I hurt, my arm hurts and my leg hurt. But you know something, there are parts that don't. So I don't think it could be worse. Never say that. Say why? God can prove you wrong. But thank God for your health, young people. Thank God for your health. You don't understand it. You don't understand it. Health comes and health goes. Hey, and health going doesn't make God a bad God. It makes our bodies just deteriorating bodies. But we have to thank God for what health we have. Now, the whole purpose of the lesson is this. We've been talking about helping people. Those of you with negative attitudes, you don't help people. Husbands and wives don't help each other with all the negative, all the negative, all the negative, all the negative. Thankfulness helps people. Seeing the upside, hey, I know there are times when we don't have enough money, and I know there are times when we don't feel well, and I know there are times when things aren't going well, but we need to give God credit and be thankful for what God does. That will help you to help other people. It'll influence a home. It'll influence a church. It'll influence a business. You know, all a business needs, you know, it really bothers me. I hate it when there's a boss and he's got a group of people working for him, and they all sit at lunch and talk bad about him. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't like this. All it needs, most of the time in a little group like that, they just need somebody to be thankful for what they have. May not stop all the negative criticism, but it could minimize it. And if for no other reason, you ought to do right, whether it influences anybody or not. And we have a lot for which we can be thankful. If you're not in hell tonight, you have every reason to be thankful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I welcome you to the Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus to save me. I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. Pray for me. If you'll raise your hand, I will. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Say, I'm not saved. They don't even know if I go to heaven. Well, then let me ask this. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, I need to push the reset button on this thing of being thankful. I can see how I've looked at some of the negative, and rather than looking at what I have, I spend my time looking at what I don't have, and I've developed a little bit of a bad attitude maybe. And I need to work on my thankfulness. Would you raise your hand to God and say, God, I need to work on that. I've got to work on my thankfulness. Yeah, there are hands up all over the place. You may put your hands down. You might need to take a moment at the altar. Hey, can I tell you, honestly, Somebody here, in a moment, we're going to have an altar call. You might need to get up out of your seat, walk down here, get on your knees for a second, and this is the first thing you say. You say, God, I'm sorry. I've just not been thankful like I ought to. Did you know that could make your day and night and week go so much better? Just say, God, I'm sorry. I've not been thankful like I ought to be. Thankfulness influences people. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing to your feet, if you will. Do you need a moment at the altar? Children, do you need to be thankful for what mom and dad do for you? Laborer, employee, do you need to be a little more thankful for what the boss does for you? Do you need to be thankful that you can walk? Do you need to be thankful that you have food? Do you need to be thankful for your salvation? You need a moment at this altar, you come. Thank God for peace. Oh, I remember nights where I wondered if they would ever end. I remember nights when it just seemed like it was it's a tragedy, emotional catastrophe. Oh, but since then, God has given peace, and I'm thankful for it. Thankfulness. The Bible says when that first company of people began to be thankful, a second company developed. Before long, the homes, the moms, the children were being thankful. As a result of it, it was heard afar off. The Bible says, heard even afar off in Nehemiah 12:43. Ushers, you get ready with the prayer bulletin.